Welcome to Crime Wire, an elite team of veteran investigation experts, along with noted crime consultants and attorneys, often featured on the popular news programs for families of violent crime to find answers and seek justice. The Crime Wire team, Denny Griffin, retired investigator and author, and Susan Murphy Milano, violence expert and author, are there on top of the crime at the top of their game. Crime Wire is the place for information, news, safety, and most importantly, justice. Our interactive website is www.crimewiresite.com. You can call in any time during the show at 1-646-478-0982. And remember, you can participate in the show simply by going to the live interactive chat room here on Blog Talk Radio. If you are a friend or family member who would like to send the Crime Wire team information on an unsolved or suspicious death case, or want to be considered for a segment on a case for a future show, email us at thecrimewire@gmail.com. As you know, my friend and co-host Susan Murphy Milano has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and will be off for the next several weeks while she undergoes treatment. You can show your support for Susan and keep up with her progress by visiting her site at www.conqueringcancer.me. Filling in for Susan this week is our Director of Research, Kim Colton. Kim, thanks for co-hosting with me tonight.
Oh, thank you, Denny. It's always a pleasure.
And we're going to talk tonight about the Sheena Morris case out of Florida and the political situation in the State Attorney's Office and the Manatee County Sheriff's Department. Joining us are Sheena's mother, Kelly Osborne, and Manatee County Sheriff candidate Bill Waldron. Kelly and Bill, welcome to Crime Wire.
Well, thank you very much.
Before we get started here, let me just give a little background on what's been happening with Sheena's case. The state of Florida has yet to reopen the case of Sheena Morris. There is even more evidence and information pointing directly at one target. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement are afraid to man up and step in and undo the damage by inexperienced Brandenton Beach investigators because of potential liability. The family of Sheena Morris has spent thousands of dollars they do not have for outside experts to come in and assist with the case. Even after the death certificate was changed from suicide because of the experts to undetermined, they are still afraid if they rule homicide, this will expose the county to a lawsuit by the family. It happens, this is an election year, and both the state's attorneys and Manatee sheriff races. The communities have the opportunity to vote out corruption and the good old boy network. If Sheriff Brad Stubbe is reelected, the community can expect more of the politics as usual and excessive waste of government spending and taxpayer dollars. If Ed Broski is elected as the new state's attorney, the citizens are merely passing the corruption baton from one predecessor on to him. Now, let me start with you, please, Kelly. What is the current status of the investigation into Sheena's death?
Well, as far as the investigation itself goes, it's the same as it has been since the day of her murder. There's absolutely no investigation in the process, and there was no initial investigation to really start with, because if many people have been following, the boyfriend was never even questioned until our prompting, and that wasn't until 22 days later. And that was just done as a courtesy from Detective Diaz because, he just knows, what it was without doing an investigation. He insists when you see him on some other media, he'll say that he's 150% sure. Well, I believe that doesn't come from an investigation that he's done. It certainly couldn't be because he didn't really do an investigation. And therefore, once, all the experts, these are experts that would not risk their own reputation to say that this was not a suicide, in fact, that it was a staged crime scene. The medical examiner also reviewed and you know, re-met with even the forensic pathologist, and the medical examiner had changed the manner of death. This is not something, Detective Diaz will say that the family pressured the medical examiner into doing. Well, you know, I'm sure Mr. Waldron could vouch for the fact that you can't pressure a medical examiner to rule their case one way or another. It's just like if it were a homicide, I wouldn't be able to pressure them into saying, could you please not call this a homicide? Could you please call this a suicide? It's just not possible. And Detective Diaz knows that. And I think that he's just acting in a personal manner, protecting his own judgment rather than as a professional.
Okay, and now Detective Diaz is with the Bradenton Police Department?
We got to make sure that we do speak that correctly, because there is a Bradenton Police Department, but there's also the Bradenton Beach Police Department. Bradenton Beach Police Department only consists of about 10 officers, maybe 12.
Okay, and so we're talking about the beach, Bradenton Beach?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. Okay.
Can we bring Bill Waldron in for a minute? As a law enforcement officer, Bill, when you hear the scenario as outlined by Kelly, can you tell me what your thoughts are? What goes through your mind?
Sure, and I even have a little bit of inside information on this, because back in May of 2010, I had a local reporter was trying to do a story after she interviewed Kelly, and I was asked to take a look at the police report. And all I had to take a look at the time was the incident report from the Bradenton Beach police officers. And I had a lot of concerns at the time over the lack of things that were done initially in this investigation and the lack of things that have been done since. And, you know, with investigating a suicide is very or a potential suicide, any death where someone considers it a possible suicide is probably even more difficult than doing a homicide investigation, because you're dealing with a lot more emotions from family and friends wanting an answer. And it is difficult, unless you have, you know, obvious or tons of evidence that something is a suicide, to rule it as such. You have to conduct every investigation as if it's a possible homicide investigation. And then as evidence becomes clear or certain details become clear, then you can kind of make a determination. What really bothered me when I read the law enforcement report was the lack of investigation that was conducted in this incident. And it seemed like a lot of suppositions were made by patrol officers, not even by a detective. And the other thing that stuck out in my mind is typically in years past when we would have a death investigation in one of the island communities, you know, serviced by Bradenton Beach Police Department, Holmes Beach Police Department, and Longboat Key, the Manatee County Sheriff's Office would typically be called out to conduct the investigation and assist the detectives from those agencies. And it didn't happen in this particular case.
It did, but Detective Diaz didn't take it any further. He processed the crime scene, but Detective Diaz didn't have any assistance from my understanding.
And typically in all other death investigations that would occur on the island, a detective from the Manatee County Sheriff's Office would respond to assist Bradenton Beach Police Department. So there was a lot of things that should have been done that were not initially done. That really concerned me with this case. At the time that I was asked to take a look at the police investigation, I did not have access to any of the photographs taken, nor did I have access to the medical examiner's report. So when I spoke with that, kind of consulted with this reporter, I couldn't give a clear decision one way or the other on this investigation as far as the cause of death of Sheena.
this, now, Kelly, at what point did you become, should I say, dissatisfied or somewhat suspicious of how the investigation was being conducted?
It was 1 week after I had learned of Sheena's death, and I had just gotten back to from laying her to rest in New York and back in Tampa, and her father and I and both her step-parents had finished packing up her apartment, and I had called Detective Diaz to get an update on the status of the investigation. And he said he was just waiting for the autopsy report and for the medical examiner's report. At that time, I asked him if he had questioned the boyfriend, and his response was, no, why should I? And so it was then right there, just exactly the way it was said, that I knew that something was very wrong, that he closed the door to that hotel room and he did nothing. I had already myself gotten the toxicology reports back from the medical examiner. Initially, I was told that the toxicology reports would take 8 to 12 weeks. Well, I had them back in less than a week and was notified by the medical examiner that she was, you know, under the legal limit for alcohol. She had some nicotine because she smoked cigarettes, and that there were no drugs found in her body. And so I was concerned about how quickly they came back. You know, not even Michael Jackson's comes back that quick. And so a lot of things were very much concerning me.
So you were skeptical at that point. Had you anticipated or had you thought that because of the beach, Bradenton Beach being a relatively small agency, small department, that they would have had already or would be calling in maybe some more experienced or seasoned investigators to give them a hand?
You know, when this happens and when you're not regularly involved with the police, you don't really know until you become a person like myself. You know, as to how things really work, or maybe if they're working this way, but, you know, we realize, okay, we're not dealing with CSI Miami because, you know, I'm even trying to figure out, you know, what the time of death is. Well, I'm told that they can't really give a time of death because it depends what the temperature of the room was, which I know that it was 76 degrees from viewing the crime scene photos, but then I guess it determines, you know, what lights were on, and these different factors. So I was quickly finding out that all the questions that I had, I wasn't going to get answers to. But probably one of the most alarming things was that even if it were a suicide, I wanted to know the truth. Back then, that's how this started out. Just give me an investigation and let me know which is the truth, because an investigation wasn't done. But I couldn't find any proof of suicide at all. And as hard as I tried to work it as though that this was a suicide case, I couldn't.
Now, is it clear to you exactly on what basis it was decided that Sheena's death was a suicide? It's apparently something you didn't see, but...
Sheena's death was not a suicide. You know, that now after we've exhumed her body, and we've had approximately 4 forensic pathologists and 4 certified level 3 criminal investigators submit their affidavits and the reasoning and the reasons why, you know, we're no longer talking about Sheena's death being a suicide. The only person who's talking about Sheena's death being a suicide is Detective Diaz. Everyone else knows it wasn't. Give you an example. Here's how very little, just besides the fact that Detective Diaz did not question the boyfriend who domestically abused her that same evening, where no domestic dispute report was done at the time until after it was recreated after her death. But her father goes to pick up her suitcase from the police department, from Detective Diaz, and the boyfriend introduces the father to the detective. I don't know why that is. But regardless, her father is right there in front of the detective, and it's just a few days after. Wouldn't it be appropriate that Detective Diaz sits her father down and asks a few questions such as, when's the last time you spoke to her? How did she sound? Did you notice any differences or changes in her? Anything at all? But he didn't do that. He handed him her suitcase, and on he went.
Kelly, did there come a time after your suspicions were aroused and you were lacking confidence in how things were being handled, did there come a time where you talked to the Bradenton Beach police chief to ask either for a new detective or ask if they would call in another agency for assistance, maybe some more experienced personnel?
It took me 2 years to get the chief of police to actually sit down and meet with me. In those 2 years, he would not respond to a phone call. He would have Detective Diaz call me and say that Detective Diaz is the detective on the case, and then that's who I'm supposed to talk to. Chief Special would never return my call. It wasn't until the mayor at the time, Robert Bartelt, received about 150 letters from people requesting that they speak with me. And then that was the time when Mr. Bartelt urged the chief to sit down and talk with us. That meeting was actually for two days and a total of 8 hours. I submitted many handouts. I had diagrams, actually a board of the chain of events and timeline leading from the month of December right through the month of January. And what it all came down to, after presenting for 8 hours and asking Detective Diaz, you know, here we've got the medical examiner who changed the manner of death. His response to that is, that's because they were pressured. And then I said, what do we tell now these four forensic pathologists after Sheena's body being exhumed and statement analysis experts and certified level 3 criminal investigators who all say that this wasn't a suicide? And Detective Diaz's response to that was, it's just their opinion.
Oh, that's appalling.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's appalling. I have to, right now I want to introduce, we do have Peter Lombardo on the line, and he is running for the state attorney in the 12th District. Peter, welcome to Crime Wire. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
It's great. It's great to have you, actually. What do you think about this? What are your thoughts or opinions about this?
I think it's a shame that the two top law enforcement officers in our community, you know, the sheriff and the state attorney, haven't gotten involved in this investigation. I think that there is, you know, to use a legal term, a reasonable doubt as to the investigation that's been performed by local law enforcement. It's not unusual to bring in, you know, the sheriff's office or the Florida Department of Law Enforcement or to get some kind of help, you know, in a small time agency has a case that's beyond their capabilities. You know, they haven't seen a case like that. And I think that, you know, the sheriff's office probably should get involved. The state attorney's office probably should lend an investigator to look into the case, because I think Kelly definitely has done her homework, and it's really not in dispute what she's saying.
Mm-hmm. That's
but
true.
No, let's send her, maybe bring politics into play a little bit here. And tell me, please, if what I'm going to say is, holds true in the state of Florida. I run into cases frequently in other states, including I'm working on now in New York State, in which the family of the deceased is questioning the competency of the investigation that was conducted after the body was found. And there are certain similarities, actually, to what we're talking about here with the Machina's case. And the mother deceased went to the sheriff. This was being handled by the sheriff's department, and asked if a new detective could be assigned. She had no confidence in this individual, wouldn't return phone calls, and no bedside manner, did a very poor job of public relations here. And the sheriff said, oh, no, he's my guy, and he's going to stick with the case. So not satisfied with that, she approached the state police, and, of course, they have jurisdiction anywhere in the state. And the police said, well, we can't come in unless we're invited in. Now, she thought that was some legal bar to that, only to find out later that it was more a political correctness thing, that one agency doesn't want to step on another one's toes or make the other agency look bad. And she's very frustrated. She said, you mean to tell me that somebody may be getting away with murder, and the agency that maybe has the right resources to do the investigation won't do it unless they're invited to do it? So she's quite incredulous over that. Would that situation be true in Florida, that same type of thing, or is it a different set of rules?
It is. There's basically an unwritten rule that another agency doesn't get involved unless they're really asked to. You know, if there's, you know, God forbid there'd be a, there was a shooting here in Manatee County, and 22 people got shot. I think two were murdered, and it was in the city of Palmetto. But they brought in the local sheriff's office because realistically they knew that was probably something they needed help on. And so it happens that the chief of the Palmetto Police Department, his father is the sheriff, so that call was made pretty easily. But in general, they do not get involved unless the agency asks them to. And I think that's probably all over the state of Florida. It's probably in a lot of states.
Bill, as a lawman, law officer, what do you think of that unwritten policy, if you will, about not stepping on toes, not getting involved, even if it means that a crime that is solvable doesn't get solved? Do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea?
It's a bad idea because it just perpetuates the corruption that occurs here in Florida. You know, Florida's ranked number one in the nation when it comes to political and law enforcement corruption, along with white collar crimes. And so to have this type of system in place, really prohibits good investigations from being done, and it prohibits people from, if they're not happy with their sheriff's office, from getting any justice.
And now, do the families, in this case Kelly, do they have any recourse? I mean, is there anything they can do? Can they appeal anywhere, or is it pretty much out of their hands?
No, I mean, what Kelly's doing with the petition, and, I've signed the petition. I believe Peter has signed the petition to get this to Governor Rick Scott to place this investigation in the hands of Florida Department of Law Enforcement. The only issue that I have with this, and being, I've investigated several hundred deaths, and I've actively worked on 42 homicide investigations as the lead investigator. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement is ill-prepared in conducting homicide investigations. That's not their forte. They're basically set up to assist agencies of less than 200 employees as far as sheriff's office conduct investigations in the smaller counties. So aside from Florida Department of Law Enforcement, if you couldn't get the Manatee County Sheriff's Office to do something, the next step would be also to make a complaint with the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And there would be several options there and several grounds to make a complaint to the FBI as far as how this case is, was handled and why there has not been a follow-up investigation, although that new evidence has been uncovered and the medical examiner's office has ruled it as undetermined.
Do you have any feel for what the odds are of success going the FBI route? Is that can that bear fruit, or is it pretty much a tough road?
It is extremely difficult because I myself have tried to make a complaint about some of the corruption within Manatee County in law enforcement, and have run into all kinds of roadblocks. And a lot of that is really tied to politics in the Sarasota, Manatee County area. The political connections with our former sheriff, Charlie Wells, go all the way back to Governor Jeb Bush and his father, and with several other prominent political figures in the Manatee-Sarasota area. So politics really does play a big factor into all of this.
Kelly, when you hear the discussion that we're having here with Peter and Bill, as the mother of a deceased person, what are your thoughts when you hear about political correctness and this and that coming into play, possible corruption? What are your thoughts as a mother here?
Well, first I would like to explain that, unfortunately, I no longer look at this from a mother's eyes anymore. I now look at this as, you know, this is my job, and it is, and I have to look at it aside from being a mother, unfortunately. But this is what I've learned in the process. So hearing this all tonight, this is no surprise to me. This is what I've known not all along. It's the process that I have learned. Throughout my travels and my 3.5 years of investigating this, the police, I've had a great opportunity to talk with law enforcement throughout the country. And what I have learned is about the politics. So this isn't something new to me. It's not surprising. But I will say that I'm sure that family members who are listening to the show tonight and other mothers that are listening to this show tonight that have a similar story, they're probably absolutely devastated right now. I used to be. Now I'm trying to overcome it, and I'm trying to figure out what it is that we need to do, we need to change, and we need to stop this. Because my daughter isn't the only death out there that has been mishandled. I know this. I also know that not even the FBI really wants to step on another law enforcement officer's toes. It is the code. You don't do it.
You know, you're right, and I admire you for continuing this. And you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, but understandably, when they're in the situation that you're confronted with, eventually give up. They get beaten down because after so many doors are slammed in their face, they just don't have the stamina or the wherewithal to continue the fight. And you know, I can understand how it can happen because I've seen and talked to some of the families that have gone through this, and they're just devastated. They just can't go on continuing the battle. But I certainly respect you for what you're doing and your perseverance and staying with us. Bill and Peter, Peter, let me go to you first on the families that we're talking about. Well, first of all, most of us, fortunately, don't have to deal with these situations, okay? And most of us, we don't have our loved ones becoming the victims of homicide or violent crime, thankfully. But I think, like Kelly was saying, when she first realized some of the problems here, she was, you know, devastated and so forth. Now she accepts it, and it no longer surprises her. But I've been amazed at the number of botched investigations that we've come across that the average citizen just doesn't think of. I mean, I'm pro-law enforcement. I think the overwhelming majority of men and women in law enforcement are dedicated. They do the best job they can to prevent crime and solve crime. But all agencies are comprised, staffed, and run, regardless of how much equipment they got and how many goodies they got. It's still human beings at the controls. And as human beings, you're going to find some people that aren't perfect and maybe somehow got through the screening process and got into a law enforcement position when they perhaps shouldn't be. And you got others that maybe get in and are okay, and then something happens over a period of time on the job, and they lose the attitude and dedication that they once had. Let me start with you, Peter. Am I correct in that, or am I way off base?
No, I think you are. I think the overwhelming majority, I think you're right, the overwhelming majority of law enforcement officers do the best job that they can and do a good job. There's a lot of politics, there's a county down here where a school resource officer became the sheriff, and he had all his cronies had running the detective division, doing the homicides, and they'd been school resource officers. And that probably was not the best decisions that the sheriff could have made or the people could have made. And there's a lot of law enforcement officers that, because of the pay, it's not the greatest. You don't get the quality of employees and applicants like I think we used to. I grew up in right outside New York City, and kids, the Irish kids, the Italian kids, they grew up, they wanted to be cops. And their dad was a cop, their grandfather was a cop, their uncles are cops. It's not really like that. It's more like, all right, well, I'm going to go to the police academy and see what I can do, see what kind of job I can get. And training's not like it was, and there's a lot of political favors in getting people promoted, and that's not the way it should be. It should be completely on merit.
Mm-hmm. And Bill, what is let's ask you that same question.
I think essentially all men and women that get into law enforcement are good. There's a few that slip through the cracks, but I think over time people succumb to the same things that all people succumb to in various jobs, whether it's laziness or, trying to get into a particular clique to get ahead. One of the biggest problems I see in law enforcement here in Florida is that, especially in this area, you have to pay to go to the academy on your own. You're not recruited and sent to the academy and given the training. So unless you can afford to take off work for 6 months and pay $5,000 to go to the academy, you can pretty much give up any hope of being a law enforcement officer. So that kind of narrows down the pool that you have to choose from as far as your applicants. But there's a lot of issues that come up over periods of time. If you've got, one of the biggest issues in our area now is pay. Pay has been low for many, many years, and there's been nothing put into place in Manatee County to pay the law enforcement officers better, particularly the sheriff's office. There's no step increases. Whatever the pay is, that's the way it stays for until you retire or get promoted. And that creates very low morale. And with low morale, you have a huge lack of professionalism. And along with that, you have this attitude of, I am the police. I am God. Whatever decision I make, people are going to have to abide by that. And if they don't like it, that's tough. They can get out of Manatee County.
I have a question. I have a question for you, Bill, and it's kind of on that note. When I started out this process, and I'm trying to get a conversation with the chief of police to address my concerns, and I couldn't get him, I went to Internal Affairs in Manatee County. They seemed very much interested in hearing my entire complaint. They did let me know and say, we do not have jurisdiction, though. And so I continued on, but I found it interesting because here we've got this little police department in which there was a reporter who once told me, I think it might have been with the Bradenton Herald, who said that basically everyone that's with the Bradenton Beach Police Department are misfits from other departments that couldn't make it in the other departments. That's what I was told. And my concern is that we've got these 10 to 12 officers working this police department with no internal affairs. The only person they have to answer to, apparently, is Chief Special. But if Chief Special is certainly not interested in doing his job, then where does a family go? Because I know of another death. It was Officer Bizzell, who was written up for not contacting his supervisor when he found a deceased person, and he had moved the body, and the family had some concerns as to how they ruled that case as well. And I'd been to the autopsy, and, you know, trust me, I've done my homework. I've reviewed over 300 autopsies with the Manatee County. But I'm sorry, I'm rambling. I'll let you answer the question about internal affairs.
Well, to get back to the first part of your question, here in Florida, as it is in most states, your sheriff is a constitutionally elected official. Therefore, they are the chief law enforcement officer of the county. That means they have jurisdiction throughout every square inch of the county. And as a sheriff, if the sheriff feels that it's necessary to step in and take over an investigation, they have sole authority and jurisdiction to do so. What the biggest thing that you're running to with the investigation into Sheena's death is politics. The sheriff is not going to go out there and tell the chief of Bradenton Beach, we're going to take over this case, nor are they even going to consider that. Now, if the chief of Bradenton Beach asked Sheriff Stuvey, hey, listen, you know, we may have screwed up on this or whatever, we would like a fresh set of eyes to take a look at this. Could you assign a detective and take over this investigation? Then Sheriff Stuvey may say yes. And I think that was done to an extent, very limited, but when the investigators took a look at it, they had the same lack of information that I had when I took a look at this case in 2010. But it really comes down to politics, because if your sheriff is a true constitutional sheriff, then he is going to serve and protect all citizens within his county and within his jurisdiction. And if there's something not right, then they're going to step in and do something about it. Unfortunately, we have yet to have a sheriff like that in Manatee County.
Right, right. So what we're looking at now today in the real world, we're looking at the serve and protect of our own officers versus the public and the community and the
exactly.
taxpayer, Manatee County, right?
And you know, a lot of people don't understand how things work, and it works very simple. You know, you elect the sheriff. If he's not doing a good job, then you elect someone else that's going to do the job properly.
Yeah, Denny, this is what I've learned over the last 3.5 years.
You're getting quite an education, I'll tell you that.
Yes, I am.
Kim, did you, I thought you were had a question there. Did I hear you?
Well, I wanted to talk about, and this is something from another show that we did with Peter Hyatt, but the fingernail clippings, were they ever found? I always wanted to know that, Kelly.
Oh, Kim, I'm so glad you asked about that, because for 4 months, I kept writing Detective Diaz about the fingernail clippings. Where were they? Do you have them? Because the last he told me two things, and because there's two things I asked for. I wanted any handwritten notes that they used to create their reports when they were at the hotel room where they found my daughter and through their investigation. Detective Diaz told me quite some time ago that he did not have any. There were no handwritten notes. Well, I decided I wanted that in writing. I wanted that in writing from him. So it took me 4 months. I wasn't getting any response. The other request were the fingernail clippings. Ironically, when I moved from Washington to get my butt back here in Tampa, because they stopped answering my questions. This move recently took place, so yes, I moved back here just to work on my daughter's case. And sure enough, a certified letter comes that he said that he's got the nail clippings. No, they were never tested. But I believe, because I've seen his office, so I don't believe that they are in a climate protected area in evidence. He's got kind of like, his office is a mess of brown paper bags, trust me. I've seen it. All I have is a letter of him stating that he has them and no, they haven't been tested. Now, he also said that he didn't know if he could actually get them back to me, so he's checking with other police departments. I did not ask to take possession of them, and I do not want possession of them because I don't want to break that chain of command.
Exactly, the chain of evidence.
Right. I don't want to do that. So, you know, I don't know what he was thinking there in his letter. But then he was somehow able to reproduce notes, handwritten notes. And they must have been reproduced because it took 4 months to get them to me. And he never had them before, so that's just my guess. But I still don't have much further information than that. And he did not, he actually did not even answer those letters until I believe that there's a reporter that's looking into things, and because I've been called and I've been asked some questions for my statement and things, and so it was after then that my letter finally got answered. I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not. I just find it ironic that it took 4 months, and it's not until yet another reporter starts asking some questions.
Kelly, these notes that Detective Diaz was able to locate, apparently, when he said he didn't have any to begin with, when you read through, was there anything that caught your eye in those notes? Were they of any value?
You know, I'm going to be very honest with you. When those notes got forwarded to me, I had just moved back to Tampa. My husband scanned and emailed them to me, and all I had access to at the time was my iPhone. And so I hadn't read through them, And to be quite honest with you, it didn't become urgent even when I just recently got my internet, because I have no faith at all in anything that Detective Diaz has to say. After you read the police reports and the lies and the statements that come out of his mouth, I'm very sorry, but my whole life, I've raised my daughter to respect the police, and I still respect the police. But I feel that Detective Diaz has gone too far in making this personal,
as opposed
to being professional. So I did not even take the opportunity. I forwarded them along, but I didn't really read them, because, to be honest with you, I don't even believe that he had the notes. That's my guess. I think that they were probably recreated, just like the domestic violence dispute report was recreated.
Billy, what do you think about the notes? I don't know. Does it seem odd to you that they weren't available and then they became available, or is that kind of a normal thing?
Well, no, that would be extremely odd and out of the ordinary. And I'm sure with your experience in law enforcement, you would find it the same reason. You know, and typically any evidence from any type of investigation is not something you would keep in your office, but you would keep in a property and evidence facility. And typically with the smaller law enforcement agencies in Manatee County, they utilize the property and evidence storage facility of the Manatee County Sheriff's Office. And I do know there's some information that would indicate that the fingernail clippings would have been taken by the medical examiner's office, turned over to a Manatee County Sheriff's Office crime scene technician that should have been present at the autopsy. And so those would have gone into the Manatee County Sheriff's Office property and evidence. And they should have stayed there until they were submitted to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement for, you know, forensic analysis. But probably what happened, as soon as Braden Beach had determined that this, in their opinion, was a suicide, then there was no need to keep any of that evidence at the Manatee County Sheriff's Office. And it then went to Braden Beach Police Department and, you know, sat within the confines of you know, the detective's office. So it'd be improper all the way around.
I'd like to, if I could, finish up, because we're getting down a little short on time, and talk about, Bill, with you and Peter, about your decisions to run for elected office. Now, I was involved, not directly, but I was close to a sheriff's race up here in New York State at one time. And I didn't realize, I thought on a, you know, more or less a local or county level, it would be relatively clean and, you know, benign. It certainly wasn't. I mean, it was kind of a nasty thing. And in fact, I, at that point, when I saw what happened in that contest, I vowed I would never even consider running for public office, because I don't know if I could hold my temper for some of the stuff that goes on. But I'd like to find out from each of you, you know, what prompted you to make the decision. And can we start with you first, Peter? Tell us a little bit about the state attorney's office and the district and what made you decide that you wanted to run for that office.
Sure. I was a local prosecutor here for about 18 and a half years. I was a supervisor, ran the felony division for 10 and a half years, and I left about five and a half years ago to go into private practice. And I see that office, it lacks honesty, it lacks transparency, it lacks competency, and I think the people of Manatee, Sarasota, and DeSoto County are suffering because of that. The state attorney's office will give out political favors to a few of their cronies. Not everybody has access to the state attorney's office. I literally have seen attempted murder cases of an elderly citizen reduced because that the perpetrator's family had some prominent lawyer friends who were able to call the state attorney and get the charge reduced, where there was no jail time, no conviction. And I want to bring integrity back to that office. I want to reduce crime in our community. And I think there's better ways to do it. You know, I want to go after gang members. We have a gang problem. I want to go after habitual offenders, violent offenders. And that's pretty much my platform. And I think I want to clean up a little bit of the corruption. There's no corruption prosecutions in this area. And I just think there's a better way to do it. And I've got a successful practice, but I'm willing to give that up to help our citizens.
And how is the race going so far? What's your feel?
It's going well. It's I'm a Republican. I'm a lifelong Republican. I'm running against a longtime Democrat who recently switched to the Republican Party. He goes, when I mention that in debates, he kind of goes crazy. I kind of give the analogy. He's like Linda Blair in The Exorcist. His head starts spinning. You have to back away because there's projectile vomiting, all that. But it's going really well. I've picked up a lot of support, a lot of grassroots supporters. And you know, today one of my commercials just hit the airwaves. So hopefully things will hopefully I'll pull far ahead of my opponent and breeze into state attorney's office.
Well, God bless. I hope you do. I really do, because there needs to be a change. There has to be a change. But I have to tell you, Denny and guests, we do have a caller on the line. This is Donna, and she is in the same boat as Kelly, as you, Kelly. And you're both moms who lost a loved one, and I want to bring Kelly on right now because she had a great question. Kelly, go ahead. Donna, go ahead.
Yes, I had requested all the open records or the files on them, and I had specified handwritten notes and diagrams that they had, and they didn't send me anything back as far as handwritten. Do I need to request that again? They just didn't send them and didn't say a word about it.
I would suggest that you make sure that you're sending anything that you do send certified mail. Keep a diary any time that you make a phone call or a request. So that when it comes time, you take them to court or trial, you've got everything documented, because they probably are not documenting as well as you're documenting. Mr. Waldron could also add to that when you're not getting a response from the police officer or the detective.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're dealing directly with the detective, then I would ask to speak to that detective supervisor. And if that gets you nowhere, just take it all the way on up through the chain of command. And if you still don't get any satisfaction or response, then you might want to contact a state law enforcement agency that may have some jurisdiction to be able to step in and give you some type of assistance. But you'll have to stay persistent. You may even consider contacting local media and let them know some of the issues.
First I'd like to say I'm very sorry. You lost a daughter, a son. I'm very sorry. Please leave your number with Kim and Denny, and I'd be happy to help you with everything that I've learned in my process. It seems to be what I do these days. I'm out there assisting other moms, too, so I'd be more than happy to help you as well.
Okay, great. I sure will.
I'm so happy to hear that, because I was going to suggest that, because I feel like you're soulmates. You and Donna and Kelly are like soulmates in a club that nobody wants to join, and I'm so glad to hear you say that, Kelly, and I will definitely talk to Donna about that further.
Right.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thanks for the call, Donna. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Before we move on to Bill and talk about Manatee County, Peter, is there a website information where people can check out and get more information on you and about the race?
Yes, that's Peter Lombardo for forstateattorney.com.
Yes, I did put that in the chat room, so it's there for everybody to see and to log on to. And also for Bill Walden, which is, Bill, tell us your website.
Yeah, my website is Waldron, W-A-L-D-R-O-N, the number 4, sheriff.com.
And do you want to please tell us, Bill, exactly, you know, your motivation and what's going on in Manatee County and why you decided to throw your hat in the ring?
Sure. I know we're running low on time, so I'll try to make it real quick. I've been in law enforcement for 20 years, and I worked in Manatee County for 11 and a half years, a short period of time as a patrol deputy, and the remaining 9.5 years as a homicide and violent crimes detective. I've seen crime in Manatee County get increasingly worse. Our homicide rate has risen to where, per capita, we're ranked about in the top 10 percentile in the state for homicides. And throughout that time, I saw a lot of programs that were working be done away with. We used to have community policing, and community policing was fantastic as far as getting the community involved and solving some of our violent crimes. And when those programs were terminated, crimes continued to increase and remained unsolved. Our solvability rate on all crimes is right now is at 21.2%, which is far below the national average, and we rank number 64 out of 67 counties in the state with the lowest solvability rate on crimes. So seeing that happen over the years, seeing some of the corruption that has taken place, seeing some of the unconstitutional practices and civil rights violations that have been routine practice, gave me the motivation to seriously consider running for sheriff. And I had to leave the sheriff's office to be able to do that because Florida is a resign-to-run state. And I feel that with my experience, the great strides I've made in investigating cases in Manatee County and solving them, that I'm the person that can kind of turn things around, bring back community relations, improve the morale within the sheriff's office, and really make a difference in this community.
Well, I appreciate what you and Peter, what both of you are doing to try to make a difference, and I wish both of you the best of luck, and I'm sure Kim echoes that, and Kelly also.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I certainly do. You know, it is time. The county is in trouble. And, you know, as a mother who lost a daughter in that county, yes, it's devastating, and it will forever, you know, I'll never have a wedding. I'll never have grandchildren. I am devastated by this, but I don't want to see this happen to another family. So we could use both of them to be elected and to change Manatee County.
Okay, I'm sorry, but we're out of time, folks. I really want to thank all of you for being with us tonight. It's been, you know, at times frustrating, but very informative program tonight. And I hope you'll come back in the future and maybe we can do this again.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, you're welcome, folks. Go ahead, Kim.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night, Kelly. Thanks to the Crime Wire team, Director of Research Kim Colton, Public Relations team at ImaginePublicity.com. Our next show will be on Tuesday, July 17th, when we begin a two-part series on bullying. Remember, we ensure that your voices will be heard when there is nowhere else to turn. Visit our website, www.crimewiresite.com. God bless from the Crime Wire team, Denny Griffin and Susan Murphy Milano. Thank you and good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you so much.